This is Engineer Eric from the Jimmy Doan Show, and you're listening to part two of our December 16th podcast.
Are you right?
Yeah, well, Stitch wrote in. He goes, I just got here. What's up with the dog horse, Jimmy? Don't let me send my ninjas out there. He goes, oh, yeah, it's Stitch. He goes, Gene says good first halves. As I join here, I reserve the right to comment. Wah, 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 wah. And he goes, Allman Brothers, yeah! I said, hey, E here, I love the AB. And then Gino said, nerd alert on something. I don't know what that was.
Hanger Dogs writes in, and they said, I have stories to tell, my man. ABB, Dickie Betts, and the Great Southern. Yeah. Sea level. All right, yeah. And we're back. Who was that? Anybody we know?
That was the Beatles.
I thought it was...
No, you're going to make Stitch throw a rod, man.
Frank Sinatra.
All right.
It was the Bengals.
It was the Bengals.
It was Vinny Vanilli.
Hanger Dogs are still trying to get there. They're still trying to get there.
They just launched on us.
See if our messages. Okay. So anyway, they liked our first half. Anyway, you know, so I wanted to talk about Mr. Brain Bleed Person here.
Right.
To be honest with you, I forget.
Sorry, why don't you summarize that story up, because I don't know that one.
Oh, okay. Well, this is fascinating. There's a guy, this is really interesting, there's a guy, a senator, and I forget who he's from, North Dakota, I think, and he had a brain aneurysm or something. And
he's a Democrat, right?
He's a Democrat, right? As you know, the election, recent election, which won't actually take effect until January 4th, will have 51-49, that is, out of 100 senators, 51 of them Democrats, or vote with Democrats, and 49 Republicans. This guy is, like, in the hospital, semi-comatose or whatever, because of a congenital brain defect.
So this is like, yeah. So this is like, it's going to be like.
Well, we're going to get to that tone in just a minute.
This is going
to
be like the Pink Panther strikes again when Clouseau goes to Paris and they're all trying to kill him.
Yeah.
What they're doing, I believe, is they've got
some Jamaican witch doctors up here with the little dolls and the pins, because right. It's what would happen if the guy dies. If the guy can't serve, and I don't exactly know what the criteria are, but I think if he stays in the hospital...
He served. We put his finger on the button.
No, that's... Yeah, pretty much. I think he has to actually be dead or committed somehow, or declared incompetent or...
Well, being insane has nothing... That's still okay.
That's fine.
Vote.
No, that's
right.
Fine. That's fine. Yeah. No. That's no problem. No, you can... You know, 92,000 in the fridge or... child abuse or whatever. No problem. You're okay until the next election.
Right.
No, in this deal, what it is, if it turns out that if he dies...
I went in the room with him, and he told me he votes yes.
Well, pretty much. And he blinked twice.
Right.
That's
right.
It's like, Captain, what's his face?
If you breathe again, it means vote yes.
Or no, depending on what we want.
If you exhale.
That's right. If the fog forms on the mirror, then you were okay. No, seriously.
He blinked in Morse code to me. His right eye is a dit, and his left
right,
eye is a dash.
Right, is a dash, that's right. The point is that they, of course, they're all sitting there saying, well, we don't want to think about any possible consequences of this. We all pray for his early and speedy recovery. I'm telling you right now, the Republicans are
out there cutting the power of the hospital.
This is Sunday.
They
got
Madam
Saturday.
What's her name?
Tomorrow, there are going to be 49 new converts to some kind of prayer to God that this guy dies. And the reason is that if he can't serve, it turns out that the governor of North Dakota, I think it's either North or South Dakota, I forget which one.
Gets to a point.
It's one of the Dakotas. Is Republican. And he will obviously appoint a Republican senator, as he can do. And then it'll be 50-50 split. And of course, since Dick Cheney will vote with Republicans, the tiebreaker. What that means is, the real key to all this, is that all the committee chairs will essentially stay the same as they have been for 12 years. That is, in case you don't know this, those of you who are educated in the government-run indoctrination systems, the way it works in the House and the Senate is that the ruling party, the party with the majority, gets to choose all the committees and all the committee chairs. Obviously, they weight them.
And that's powerful.
And that's very powerful.
The chairs decide which bills go through the committees.
Precisely.
Which make it to the floor.
Exactly. Exactly. And they have, and since all the committees have hearings before this stuff goes to the floor, they get to vote on it. And the committees are all weighted so that at least one person, the committees are divided up with odd numbers. They're odd anyway, of course, as you know. So that the vote always, in a tie vote, quote unquote, always comes out in favor of the ruling party. That is to say, a committee is 9, there'll be 5 Republicans, currently 5 Republicans, 4 Democrats.
So the future of the free world rests on this guy's life.
That is, you cannot, and do you think that when you listen to the talk shows, they say, well, we're not thinking about that. I don't want to think about it from the logistics of it, though.
Their brain is like glowing red.
Oh, my God. It is like, you can see the veins pulsing in their heads, throb, 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 constantly. I mean, it is the got to be, they said, well, it's a little ghoulish to think about it. Well, bullshit. I got a newsflash. If you think for 2 seconds, think about the logistics of this.
They're trying to get a hold of Spectre
all of the committee chairs, all of their staff, all of the people, every place, all the places that are rented out.
Rented out, exactly. They don't know what to do. I mean, if you think about it, one of the things you don't realize is that there are different sized offices in the Capitol.
They usually have a couple of months to get into the groove, right?
Exactly. What happens is, that's one of the reasons you have this time between the election and when you're sworn in to move out and move in. And what happens is the committee chairs, for instance, have got these big fancy offices with big staff, all supplied by taxpayer money. And they were told on November 4th, before this guy went brain bleed on them,
get out.
Right. I mean, Harry Reid and those other people that have been in Nowheresville for the last 12 years walked up to the office and said, you out of here. And and so they started boxing up all the stuff. Well, now, whoa, hello.
Ooh, boxes.
Put it back.
Boxes.
That's right. We're not going to tape them closed quite. That's right. That's right.
The tape slows down on this boxing.
Okay. And you know, it's amazing. This hangar dogs can't even type. As Tom Daschle will be. His head fell on the keyboard here. I don't know. There's some letters that don't make a lot of
he
sense.
He was trying not to curse.
I'm not sure. I got the Tom Daschle part, but after that, it was all gibberish. I don't know.
Maybe they're in the next to the.
The hangar dogs, brew stash.
That's right, exactly. We should get their little beer sound,
the
I suppose.
Chime.
Yeah, that's right.
They probably have it somewhere.
Probably, they're probably beering it up in the hangar. Go flying, boys. Okay.
Go flying. That's right.
There you go. So anyway, if you think that they're not worried about this, I mean, the guys that are boxing up, getting ready to move into these new fancy or the fancy offices, some of these guys were there 12 years ago, and now they're just hooting and hollering. The Democrats are hooting and hollering because
there must be 200 people sitting at that hotel with cell phones.
Oh,
ready to call.
You get brain damage from across the street.
Oh, I'm seriously. Do you think they're not? And of course, what's so funny about this is they all come out with these pious pronouncements. Well, we're not thinking about this, of course. We just want him to get better. And I'm thinking, this is so much BS. As you say, this is not just any old thing. This is the control of the Senate, which, I mean, when you think about.
Doesn't mean anything for the taxpayers, but.
No.
It just means they get to keep their big fancy office and.
Well, not only that, but there are agendas. I mean, think about it. If you're the committee chairs, this has to do with, since the Senate has to confirm judges,
mm-hmm.
which ones will come through? Will they be, will George Bush appoint the usual, quote, more conservative types or not? Or that sort of thing? And will you have a chance to get them through with the committee chairs with the Senate? Since Dick Cheney will be the tiebreaker, and this happened before. I remember one time during some particular vote, I forget, Al Gore was the tiebreaker, and it went to the Democratic side on that particular thing. This was a dozen or more years ago, or about 10 years ago. The point is that this is not just a trivial brain bleed. This is big, 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 and it means a lot to a lot of people. There are literally thousands of people who are hanging on tenterhooks, whatever those are, waiting for this guy to either walk out or...
I'm okay!
Well, yeah, I'm okay, right. Well, I would guess this... Yeah, exactly. His brain bled again, helped by a lead projectile.
Right.
The deal is that if there ever was a wish for the $6 million man, this is it.
Right.
They're going to put this guy, patch this guy up, and but I don't. They, but he's going to be.
It'll be like the RoboCop. You know?
He's alive. Right. We hooked him up to this computer. See, look, ask him a question, and the answer will appear.
And the answer will appear. That's right. It's the Turing test.
Right.
We know what that is. So he said yes.
Mm-hmm.
What do you?
I mean, if he isn't dead by yet, he'd probably be all right.
Well, again, the thing about it is, I don't know what the actual rules are. Senate, of course, both houses of Congress get to make their own rules. The way the Constitution, I think, reads is, you pretty much have to be dead or impeached in order to be out. But of course, if he's not voting, I mean, if he can't vote, that's going to make a difference.
Right.
But even if he can't vote, then the split will still be 50-49.
Right.
The only time Cheney gets to vote is when there's a tie.
Right.
As president of the Senate. So in other words, even without this guy, the Democrats will still be in control. What they're all worried about, of course, is
they either want him to get better or stay in a coma.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly right. Exactly right.
This poor guy, he won't be allowed to die.
That's right.
He's going to be on every kind of life support system.
You can imagine. I mean, you can imagine what the life support looks like in this thing.
It's going to make Terry, what's her name, look like
she
looks like it was made out of Tonka toys.
Oh, that's right. No.
They're going to have a Whopper control in his brain. They're going to have some machine about the size of a giant stadium control the rest of his arteries.
They're going to corral the supply of those little plastic water bags or whatever it is all over his thing, you know, the little drain things that they have in his arm.
He's not dead yet.
That's right. There is still body. They're going to preserve his organs for at least 2 years.
Right. Yeah, no, his head will be voting before he dies.
That's right. It'll be like on Futurama, you know, where they have
the heads in the jars.
That's right. He's voting. That's right.
All right. What else we got?
Okay. Moving along. The next thing I wanted to talk about our erstwhile attorney here. This also in Washington, D.C. Here's the segue. How the segue goes. This is still Washington, D.C.
God almighty.
It's amazing how he did this today.
It's a first.
It's a. I don't need to hear this. I occasionally have sort of a segue.
I'll just have to pull my list out of the trash now.
That's right.
Yeah. Let me get that out of here. There we go. Wrinkle this sucker out
there. That's right. Okay, here we are. Scope of Second Amendment question. In Washington, D.C., guns are illegal. They have a gun ban, or I think it's more than the assault ban. I think that they have a longstanding ban on handguns in Washington, D.C. And somebody's suing, saying, well, this is unconstitutional. Second Amendment says I'm allowed to do it. Well, the prosecutors, or the state, quote-unquote, that is to say the Washington, D.C. people, are saying that the Second Amendment says it has to be a militia.
Right.
This is not people, not individuals. No people can have guns, just militias. And so they don't have a constitutional right, and apparently it's going to the Supreme Court.
Shot up the America Online again.
Yeah, this is a long-standing debate. Actually, of course, what happened was when they made the Second Amendment, there was only really two kinds of weapons: you could have a gun and you could have a cannon. Well, nobody had a cannon. And so they decided that, you know, everybody could have a gun. I mean, it's just a gun. You need a gun. And the way they wrote the amendment was, they said a well-armed militia being necessary to preserve the republic or whatever, everybody, the right to bear arms shall not be infringed.
Right.
So
where's the comma?
Let me tell you, the thing is that it's easy to read the way that I think it should be read, which is you can own whatever gun you want to own. That's it. You have the right to bear arms. It shall not be infringed. No infringement. That means nobody can infringe it. Go get your gun.
And I'm talking serious 45 caliber Tommy guns, the whole deal.
Whatever it is. What are you going to do? You know, people are worried about somebody going into McDonald's and blasting somebody. Well, look,
happens.
But there are people. It would happen with gun control. It'd be the police guy going in there with his gun that's authorized, licensed, and whatever. The call from Langley.
Yeah, I don't know. Yes, exactly. I tell you, this is, I don't even have to turn the damn phone off. That's the problem.
Unplug it.
Oh, unplug it. Yes, of course, that thing. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so then what happened is when they first started to raise this idea of maybe we need to infringe the people's right to own guns, they looked at the statute, and they thought, hey, let's do this militia thing. And so they started to raise this argument quite some time ago. And it's taken hold a little bit. That's how they've gotten some of the things through there, is some of the restrictions is the idea that, well, we only need people to bear arms if we need them to fight in the militia. Well, that's going to translate directly to you can only have a gun if you're in the military. And but it obviously shouldn't be that. It should be the people get the guns. Nobody should be worried about a person with a gun, because what are you more worried about? One person with a gun, a rogue person with a gun, or a rogue police force with a gun, or a rogue armies with guns, and nobody else has guns.
The problem is that they're not rogue. I mean, they're legal. The police now show up, literally, if it wasn't for the English word police on their back and front, you would think they were Palestinian militants.
Well, it's true.
I mean, they're dressed the same. There's no difference.
My point is that when I say rogue, I mean attacking you. I don't mean it. I mean, it could be legal. It may be legal for them to come do it, but
I will make it legal.
And that's why you want your Tommy gun there, is in case that happens. In case come to your door, like the British legally came to your door.
Well, the problem, as you well know, is no matter what you do, and it wouldn't really make any difference anyway, the government can always pull out the cannons.
Well, they've got a lot of bigger guns.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way in the right to bear arms type of thing that you're ever going to actually defeat them, unless it's like that movie Red Dawn or something, where you go out and guerrilla.
Well, and that's exactly what that amendment was for,
right?
So that everybody gets their guns. That way, when the invading army comes over, they got a lot of bullets to hack through.
Yeah, that's right.
They're going to take some hits.
You know, just dawned on me in this phone, you know who might be calling it? We do have the 800 number.
Yeah.
It could be that somebody is...
If you're calling the 800 number, the phone thing doesn't work.
Yeah, the phone, we unfortunately have not hitched it up yet. It's sitting right here. It's been sitting here for 2 weeks. I've been meaning to hitch it up. So if that's who's calling in,
mm-hmm.
next week.
Next week.
For sure. Assuming we're still here. So, my question is on this. Are they going to win this?
It's going to be close. This is a close one.
I mean, if this goes through, if they say, for instance, that they can ban the handguns, because it has to be a militia, I mean, then all bets are off. I mean,
I don't think they'll get handguns through yet. I think they're still a few decades off. The pendulum's got to swing some before they get the handguns, but it's not going to be long. Well, I mean, you've already got to register everything. You've already got to have licenses and all sorts of stuff. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, at least here in Florida, you can take the course and get a concealed permit, unless, of course, you, are a child molester or felon or a person.
Yeah.
I mean,
or an American.
If you're almost anything,
right?
You can't get it. You have to be really pristine, clean.
Yeah, lily white.
Lily white. That's right.
So watch out. Hide your guns now.
That's right. Well, get them now.
Buy them now.
Yeah,
Christmas.
Buy them now.
Yeah.
I have some on my Christmas list.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
I put some. You know, one of my favorite bloggers is, and he writes a column, I think, for Town Hall, is this guy Mike Adams. He's the professor at UNC, and he's a big gun guy. Mm-hmm. He's the official, certified, big, fat thorn in the side of UNC, University of North Carolina. He is, I think he's a professor of criminology, and he's got tenure, so they can't fire him.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently up there at the UNC, they are quite, I mean, super PC, super politically correct. I mean, they are the gay feminist alliance, whatever you want. I mean, everything that you can possibly. And if you're Ann Coulter, you are certified target person, literally. I mean, you know, it's okay to shoot that person. But if you're Karl Marx, come on down. We'll pay your way, and you get to speak.
Come speak, yeah. Come
exactly.
Speak.
No problem. Well, he's be in the same category as that congressman up in Washington D.C. I mean, they're mm-hmm. so he's dead. So what?
Right.
We can still. So anyway, that's it. Anything else about that?
Nope.
Moving along. Okay, the next thing that I've got on my list is once again this goes back the ways. U.S. Mint has banned the melting of pennies and nickels.
Horseshit!
You didn't even try and disguise that. That's just
that
didn't
that was even a sneeze. What do you mean?
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, sure. Exactly. Yeah. Gotcha. This reminds me so well, so much of things. The question is why have they done this? It turns out that the amount of nickel in a nickel is worth more than a nickel, and the amount of not the amount of copper in currently since 1983, I think. What they did is this goes back a long way. Is the amount of copper in a penny is only like 2 or 3%. It's mostly nickel also since 1983. So the value of the penny is not more than a penny. I don't believe it may be, but the problem is it costs more than a penny to make a penny. And so when you melt them down, it's like, of course, so how many people use them? I mean, let me ask you a question. How many people do you think, how many mayonnaise jars in this country do you think have got pennies in them?
It's more cumulative mass than the Earth.
I would say that. I would say that, in fact, in the United States, is probably heavier, weighted slightly.
Than the moon.
Than the moon, because, or it has additional gravitational force because of the mass of copper in the pennies that are in jars in the United States. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's this side of the Earth is a little heavier than the other side because of the penny.
Causing global warming.
It's bad for the children.
Right.
The deal is, anyway, they banned it. Like, I don't know what they expect to do. I don't know if there's any felony or something. It says a penalty up to 5 years. Regulations prohibit the melting of 1 cent and 5 cent coins with a penalty up to 5 years in prison and a fine of $10,000 if you're caught doing it. One of the problems is that prior to 1982 and before, they were like 99% pennies were all copper. And because copper back in those days went to whatever, I think in those days, if the price of copper went over about $1.40, then the amount of copper in a penny was a penny. Mm-hmm. And so people started melting them down. Then they passed the law because people were melting down pennies for the copper. As you know, even today in abandoned buildings and even not so abandoned buildings, one of the big robberies are copper pipes.
Mm-hmm. And copper wire.
Copper wire. You go outside, your electricity goes off, and you find out there ain't no wire here. And they've absconded with, there's two or three fried bodies on the ground where they had to sacrifice some people while they were pulling down the high tension. Right. They had to ground the wire first.
Right.
And then they stand
over here and grab onto this.
That's right. And then you go, that's a suicide copper person.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, the deal is they made it illegal. I thought this was interesting.
Of course, the U.S. Mint can melt down anything they want, like those double eagle coins up there.
Well, this is the ancient history of the mint and how, when government gets control of your money, what happens. As anybody knows who was around here in 1933, when they banned the ownership of gold. And, of course, what they did is they were really clever about it. The price of gold, and before Roosevelt did this, was $20 an ounce. And they said, turn in all your gold, $20 an ounce. We'll give you these nice crispy pieces of paper that say worth $20. And
once they got all
once
the gold.
They got it, once they got as much as they thought they were going to get, they said, oh, $35 an ounce. Everybody took an immediate hit of about 60% on their, quote, investment, unquote. And they hosed them down. Then gold, of course, was illegal. It was illegal to own gold except bullion gold in the United States until 1975. But the other thing that is important about this is in 19, concurrent with the gold problem was silver. Silver has had a checkered history, shall we put it mildly. I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but I will tell you that in 1963, roughly in 1963, when the dime, the quarter, and the 50-cent piece, and the silver dollar, actually, back in those, I don't know if they had silver. No, they didn't have silver.
Yeah, they did.
No, they were peace dollars. They weren't actually making silver dollars then. They stopped making silver dollars in the 20s, I think, early 30s. They were all from then. They didn't have any silver dollars, I don't think, from until later. They had the Eisenhower ones,
right.
but that was later. Anyway, whatever. They weren't silver. They weren't. They was after 1964, I believe. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Let me continue on this. The coins were 90% silver. It turned out that the price of silver went over $1.29 or whatever it was, and so that in the quarter, dime, and 50-cent piece, there was more silver in there than 50 cents. I mean, in a 50-cent piece, it was, 60 cents worth of silver. So they were melting them down like crazy. Well, the mint at that point did not say it was illegal to melt them down, although I believe it is a felony to destroy United States. That's a felony to arbitrarily destroy currency, I think, or deface it or something. But anyway, the deal is that what they did in 1964 is they went to, after they assured everybody that there was no problem with the silver, they promised, they said, we will never change this. And in 1964, they did. They went to the clad coins, except for the Kennedy halves. And until 1969. Made them 40% silver. They made them 40% silver for 5 years. But all of the, basically all of the quarters and dimes, starting in 1965, I guess, are no silver. They're fake money. It's fiat. I mean, it's basically, it's because it was of the meltdown thing. So here it is again. Same thing, same old, same old. They are trying to fine you $10,000 and 5 years in prison if you melt the stuff down. And, of course, what this shows you is they don't know how to do these things. I mean, this is so crazy. It's just, it doesn't make any sense at all. When you, if the money were private, you wouldn't have this problem. It's inflation, as you would expect. I don't know, but that they would probably change the nickel. I thought it was interesting that the nickel, of course, is called a nickel because it's got a nickel in it. But that wouldn't stop them from making it, I don't know, plastic and still calling it a nickel. But this is their stopgap value. The nickel, it says here, it's 25% nickel and 75% copper, and it costs almost 7 cents to make one. So that's what they're telling you is the reason that they don't want you to melt them down is because you are destroying the value of the coin since it costs more than they wouldn't. They ostensibly, they would not object if it only cost them 4 cents to make a nickel, as it did up until just recently. So at any rate, you can cogitate on this and realize the United States has no control over the money. Or they do. They try and control it. I'm done with that. I had more to say on that, and I forgot what it was. I'm moving on.
Okay.
We're moving on to global warming.
Global warming.
This is the environment. We have several things here on the environment.
Oh, play our environmental update music. That's not an environmental update.
Yeah, babies will all be upset when they grow up into the hellhole that we created for them.
That's right. Do you remember the movie?
What was Blade Runner.
Blade Runner, right. That's mm-hmm. what it'll look like. The smokestacks and everything. That's what it's going to look like.
We can only hope.
Yes, exactly right. Mm-hmm. I want that little scooter vehicle he had.
Yeah, I want the hot chick cyborg.
Well, speaking of hot chicks, there was a fairly extensive diatribe on Stephen Molyneux about prostitution. And I thought, boy, when they come up with the holodeck or the cyborg, humanity's doomed.
Right.
I mean, as soon as they come up with the...
Nobody will come out.
No, right. No, that's it. No, that's it. They have plastic blow-up dolls now, and there was a big article about apparently there's somebody suing in Japan. They sell artificial
stuff
mm-hmm. shall we say, sex toys for men, whatever it is, big deal about that, and they've apparently been some problems. But when they...
I hope not.
Yeah, well, when they...
Oh, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
The point is, though, when they finally do come up with the thing from Blade Runner, that's it. End of humanity mm-hmm. as we know it. Okay, so the unless, of course, they do the thing like they did A Boy and His Dog. You don't remember that movie? That is a classic movie of any movie. By the way, let me just tell you, in case you ever, if you haven't seen it, this is Don Johnson in his early days. Mm-hmm. You need to rent, go find a movie called A Boy and His Dog. Mm-hmm. And it's about, I forget what the dog's name is, but the dog is like telepathic, and Don Johnson is, it's after the big explosion, it's in the future. But when you see this movie, it is so apocryphal. Mm-hmm. It is a phenomenal movie. One of the things I like about it, again, digression, F you. they have in this guy, there's a famous guy who I believe was in another movie recently that was on TV called The Day After.
Which I want to tell you about.
No. I forget the guy's name. No, shut up. Anyway, the way the government works here is they have this hearing room. There's in this room, and the people come in and they say, it's very perfunctory. Well, she was accused of insubordination and not adhering to the rules. And he says, oh, okay, well, to the farm. They're talking about something else, about some dinner or whatever it is. And the way they rule on things is very arbitrary. Anyway, you have to see the movie. I advise everybody to see what the future is going to look like. Boy and His Dog. Okay, moving on. Alps experiencing warmest period in 1,300 years. And Veronica Oleksin, anyway, she's they're worried because, of course, one of the things that's happening is that ski resorts are closing down. Here in Colorado, of course, I understand they had a very early season this year.
Here it says the Arctic ice will be gone by 2040.
Yeah.
You know, this is like, I tell you what people do with this. It's like they pay attention to the warming between spring and summer. And then they go, man, if this trend continues.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You know, look, it's not going to happen. It goes
look
inside.
Look at the temperature increase between December and July.
Yeah, it's 100 degrees.
It's astounding how that works.
I mean, in 6 months, it's going to be 200 degrees. You know? Well, I mean, seriously. And this is what they do. Hey, look, I urge everybody to look at the overall greater graphs, and you'll see that if the overall temperature rises 1 degree, the Alps aren't going anywhere.
But so what?
Even if they are.
So what? And the Arctic ice? So mm-hmm. what? What are you going to do about it? I'm telling you, there's nothing you can do about it. You could, as I've said before, you could shut off every single carbon emission in the United States of America tomorrow, level the place, not have one. It's still going to happen at the rate things are going. It's still going to happen. There's nothing you can do. Deal with it. Deal with it. You are not going to fool Mother Nature. Mother Nature and even the humans, whatever the effect is, global warming, yada, 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 deal with it. And I'm telling you.
Don't say deal with it because then they'll pass some kind of government.
No, I meant deal with it in the market system. Let the market deal with it. And what will happen is Canada will be the new Florida. That's fine. We can all move back to Canada. I mean, that's fine. There's nobody up there anyway. I mean, there's nobody in Canada. Really? It's a great white north, and it could be the great green. They have palm trees in Canada. Fine. I'm in. I'm going up there.
The great green north.
That's it. The great green north. I mean, the thing is, if there's nothing you can do about it, live your life if it comes along. And they're, of course, one of the things that they use as the studies on this, and counselor, I can tell you that it may be happening. That is to say,
it may be, but I'm with you. The time is going to take such a long time.
Well, they're talking about 2040. That's in your lifetime, and maybe assuming that age is spiritual machines, that'll be in my lifetime.
That's still plenty of time to move.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like a tornado.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a tsunami.
I mean, you've got 34 years to think about it.
Exactly. And
they could build a really big air conditioner by then.
Yeah.
Fan.
Cool old
That's
planet.
Right. Or, well, by that time, we could have the satellite beaming the thing down, James Bond, whatever, fried, cool, whatever, something. Mm-hmm. The deal is that, of course, the other thing that I...
Well, when they get the big weather machine, do you think would it be the president or the first lady that controls the thermostat?
Oh, God. If it's the first lady, we're doomed.
It's too cold in here, Frank.
God, I'll tell you that much.
Africa just ignites.
Yeah, the Sahara is not warm enough for me.
Right.
Oh, my God. That's it. No, I would.
Sea of molten glass.
Well, Mrs. Jimmy, of course, has got. You know, she's like, lava has nothing on her.
Right, I mean, that's
it. She was born in a volcano.
She was. She's a product of the volcano. But what I like about this is our Alps experienced the warmest period in 1,300 years. Well, of course, how much global warming was there 1,300 years ago? That is to say, 1,300 years ago, I want to know, where are the SUVs?
There wasn't even dinosaur farts 1,300 years ago.
Probably not that many cows, even.
Right.
I mean, you think about it. What was causing the global warming 1,300 years ago? Braveheart?
Yeah.
We were cutting down the trees.
Yeah, yes. Deforesting everything.
That's right.
You'll watch us.
So anyway, the main thing, of course, is where they're going to pass a law to corral everybody in the known world is the unseasonably warm weather this fall has caused concern in Austria's ski resorts, where the slopes are largely covered in green grass instead of snow. And they of course, they're probably going to go to Colorado because they had an early snow this year here in Colorado. I think they opened up early. I don't know.
Well, they'll probably get an IM here in a minute, and they'll tell you.
That's it. I wouldn't doubt. Well, we did get one from Gino. He said Blade Runner. Thanks, Gino. It'd be a little late. Thank you so much. That's good.
Well, we are on a delay, remember?
All right. What, 7 seconds?
No, I think 45 seconds.
Okay, well, okay. Oh, that's right. Okay, good. Mm-hmm.
So let's have 45 seconds of silence and see.
See what happens. That's right. That's it, exactly. Okay. Here's another thing. Again, environmental update. I'm moving on to this place called Eritrea. Mm-hmm. You ever heard of the country?
No.
It's off of it's either an island or Madagascar. It's an African country. Anyway, they've decided.
How big is it?
It ain't big.
Right.
As I recall, I probably should have done a Google thing on this, done some research, which.
Big R.
Big R, that's right. Anyway, it says it's a Red Sea state, intends to protect all of its 837-mile coastline.
Oh, okay.
And apparently, coasts around 350 islands in archipelago, I guess. And anyway, the point is that they're going to declare the entire country protected.
Right.
Well,
great.
Yeah, except who protects you from the protectors and protecting for what?
Mm-hmm.
And where does this is not a market solution.
Right.
And do you think there's any chance that the government bureaucrat guys are going to get in on this and make a ton of money?
I think with the appropriate sized luxury submarine, you could probably take out their entire army if they have only an 843 mile coast. What are they going to do? Throw a spear at you?
It's longer than that. Guy, the place is 45,000 square miles. I mean, it's a tiny country by African standards, but it would be like a medium-sized state.
Anyway, what they want to do is apparently they're going to have about a football field length all around the country that you can't on the coastline that you can't do anything in.
Right.
All protected. And it's interesting because down in Costa Rica, or I guess we were down in Mexico, in Cozumel, they've got that park, underwater park.
Yeah.
And so it can be done. Mm-hmm. And they have one also in Costa Rica, I've seen.
Yeah.
But this is a whole country.
Yeah.
And
well, I mean, it doesn't matter. But even the protected areas of the Caymans, the Florida Keys, and Cozumel have all come back in spades when they just, you know, they haven't been out there just dumping oil on the reef. You know,
this brings up another point, and that is my thinking always has been that if you sell it off to Disney, and Disney's going to protect it,
right?
I mean, this Disney has a vested interest in making
the point. All the dive resorts and all these places are just careful about whatever they do, and the places have come back in spades.
Well, this is, of course, speaking of the ocean, and this is a slight digression,
mm-hmm.
slight, very slight.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about the overfishing on the oceans, and I have always said if you sell off the oceans,
mm-hmm.
You'd
be fine.
It'd be fine. Yeah, that people would, in spite of the fact
they don't understand the free market. I mean, ownership is control.
That's right.
That's what it is.
And people have a vested interest in maintaining the future of their
property.
And, of course, if you don't own it and you get to rape it, so to speak,
then you get,
there's no consequence.
Yeah, and here we are. And whenever I hear environmentalists protecting something, I always think, well, what they want to do is exert their control.
Right.
They want to
own it.
Right. They want to own it.
It's control. As a friend of mine once said, you don't have to own the property. You just have to control it.
Right.
And
exactly.
Then that's as good as owning it.
Right.
It's like having, you don't want to own, a friend of mine, when I used to chase balloons, he said, well, you don't have to own the balloon. You just have to have a friend with one.
Right.
And it's like anything. I don't have to own an airplane.
Well, obviously, it's
one.
Better if you don't have to own it because it's a lot cheaper. But then the problem with that is that somebody else can supplant you.
All right. So what's the deal with this?
So the deal is, the point is that these guys are making a mistake. I mean, it's right. Well intentioned, but if they were to sell it off
mm-hmm.
to people, they would have a vested interest in maintaining the sanctity of it all. And what's going to happen now, you can bet, is that some people are going to get in the government because the government has the guns, and they're going to probably end up despoiling at least parts of this thing.
Yeah.
Through legally.
There'll be some private enterprises that get in there and get to do whatever the heck they want.
Well, of course, then there'll be, but the thing is, as I've always said, the greatest enemy of capitalism is capitalists, and these are the people that are going to use the government
right.
as their gun
mm-hmm.
to, and then they don't have a there's no consequence for destroying it, whereas if they actually owned it, if they had an investment in the thing, you can bet they'd preserve the heck out of it.
Right.
So that is, that's that. Okay, the next thing is my education update, and we're coming towards the end here, so this might be, then we're going to have to get into light notes here real quick. Although I did want to talk about your take 32 grams of Tylenol and call me in 25 years.
Go for that.
Seattle?
Seattle
Christmas Party. Forget that, okay.
Please.
The one thing I did say here, the school report,
uh-huh.
I'm going to talk about this, because education is one of my big deals here.
You don't say.
Yeah, hard to believe. I've talked about this many times. There is the educational system in this country is broken. It is shattered beyond repair.
Right.
It needs to be the education Department of Education and all school boards need to be disbanded. All school mm-hmm. districts need to be go away totally.
Right. Order your polonium 210 over the web. And
that's right.
Take it.
There you go. Anyway, the school report, this is obviously put out by an independent commission. They want to shake up. This is the biggest change in 100 years, whatever, shake up public education. And
entire history of it.
Okay, right. The recommendations include authorizing school districts. And, of course, right away you have school districts. Boom. So you don't have to read any further. This is in the
yep.
second sentence. As soon as I read authorizing school districts, you don't have to read. This is like three pages.
Right, right.
You don't have to read another
word.
Dead. To pay companies to run all the schools, enrolling many students in college after the 10th grade, and paying teachers about $100,000 a year annually. The point is, what I find interesting is that education experts expect the study to spur public debates in legislature and school board chambers across the country, much like the groundbreaking 1983 report, A Nation at Risk. Now, 1983 is 26 years ago. Is that right? 83, 93. Is that right? 23 years ago. said basically the same thing. Got a problem. Schools, education, busted. 23 years.
It was groundbreaking.
Nothing. Groundbreaking.
They broke a lot of ground.
Nothing has changed in 23 years.
Well, it's gotten worse.
It's gotten worse. No, sorry. Excuse me. Exactly.
Yeah,
you are exactly correct. It has gotten
worse.
It has gotten infinitely worse. Since then, the real dollars, non-inflation dollars, has gone up by like 50 or 60% per student. Scores are going down daily on anything.
Scores are
falling like the
rocketing down.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's really, no, it is, they're being sucked down. It's not only gravity.
Right.
No, it's faster than gravity.
Right.
It is accelerating
dark energy.
Gravity. But what they want to do is.
It's a new source of dark energy.
Exactly. That's how fast it's going. And I mean, so the point is, this is dead on arrival as far as 170-page report. Tough, they call it. Tough choices are tough time.
It's always tough.
Always tough. The result of a year-long study by the panel.
A bunch of all-nighters,
Bunch of all-nighters. New York, the mayor, Mayo Bloomberg, chancellor of the New York Public Schools. Of course, he's got a vested interest.
Chancellor Coy.
Former secretary of the Department
the
of Education.
The schools.
The National Urban League.
The executioner
DC
schools.
School superintendent. I mean, who are these people? What are these people going to come out with in this study? These people are all...
The super duper intendant.
That's right. I mean, look, this is it is astounding to me. And one of the things
the thing I
think about this is they talk about boosting pay for teachers as if one of the things that I have found is that teachers
that makes
are
them better.
Yeah, right. It'll attract a better class. BS.
Yes.
I mean, people, teachers,
no,
I is. Have found that...
It'll increase the salaries of the ones that are already there. Is
yeah,
what
that's
it'll
right.
Do.
Yeah. I mean, and what they're talking about, well, one of the things that they did say on this...
Rooting their...
One of the things they did say about this that I thought was interesting. Yeah, well, let me tell you. Mm-hmm. They said what they do is they're going to raise the salaries to $100,000 in exchange for tenure. That is to say, and so that you get to buy your own benefits, so you get some benefits, we're going to increase the benefits, get your $100,000, but as a consequence, we're going to, well, the unions, of course, immediately said, we love this program, except for the tenure part. We still want to have tenure. They want all the good stuff and none of the bad. I mean, this, I look at this and I'm thinking, boy, talk about these people, high tough time, choices are tough times, nothing changes. This is, we're doomed. Mm-hmm. And until they completely get rid of the educational system, I mean, tear it down. The educational problem could be cured in 2 weeks if they would disband the school board and say, folks, you're on your own.
Sell it all off.
I mean, really.
Whatever's good, we'll make a profit. People will still pay. They'll send their kids there. You got to figure if half people in the United States or more want to send their kids to school and have the money, then there's going to be an education system. After it's all
there's
over.
No question. I mean, you think about the people. People are not against education. And if they are, what's the school board got to say about it? As far as I'm concerned, why force people to go to school when they don't want to? That's it. Okay, I'm done with that. I mean, because we're coming close to the end. Do you got any light notes you want to lay on here or anything else in particular?
Light notes.
They did decide, of course, Seattle would remove the Christmas trees and then put them back.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, whatever. I mean,
death threats.
Probably death threats. What about the Tylenol thing that you were talking about?
The Tylenol was, this was...
I couldn't read the whole story, but I
well, let me tell you what this was. This was a case, and this, I think I talked about this earlier in the first part of the show, about my favorite thing called House. You know, the show.
Yes.
And this is what it is. Remember the little girl who received a 5-day suspension for bringing Tylenol to school? If that punishment seems excessive, then how about a 25-year sentence? For having Tylenol at home. What happened was this, in 2004, a Florida jury convicted Richard Pay of drug trafficking involving at least 28 grams of narcotic painkiller oxycodone, which carries a mandatory minimum sentence of 25 years. He suffered from chronic pain. There's no hint that he was going to sell the stuff, but he had a bunch of pills at home, and he was taking Percocet, which is a combination of oxycodone and acetaminophen and whatever it is. That accounted for 98% of the weight to compute the sentence. In other words, what happened was, when they computed the sentence, they said, they weighed the whole thing.
Right. That's what they do these days. What they do is, what happened is the statute changed when they had crack cocaine.
Right.
When they said they wanted to make it any derivative of cocaine. That was the only way they could make the statute broad enough. And so now, if you have any derivative of any Schedule I drug, they basically weigh the entire drug, even if it's mixed with Tylenol, and they weigh the bag, too. And sometimes they ask the person to step on the scale, too, and they weigh the person.
That's right. The you person have 180 kilograms of Tylenol.
Oxycontin.
That's right, because you have one gram. brain on your lip.
2.7 million years.
That's right.
2.7 million years.
Yeah, I know. Look, the word trafficking has changed. Now, you may, when you hear trafficking, you may think to yourself, what I think of is I think of
traffic.
Yes, I think of what's your name, Jones, in the car, and she's in a bunch of traffic, and Soderbergh is filming her, and they got a trunk full of cocaine.
Right.
Okay, that's what that's trafficking in cocaine.
And what you're doing is you are either, and you are going
you're
down.
You're moving it.
You're moving it to lots of different people.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. No. Nope, that's not what I mean. Trafficking these days in the state of Florida, trafficking, listen closely, class, trafficking is possession, mere possession of more than 4 grams, okay, 4 grams. That's
less than a pound, right?
That's less than an ounce. I mean, that's a little teeny tiny
bit. Well, you think there's 30 grams to an ounce.
Wait, think about it this way. If you have a 500 milligram Tylenol, that's 8 pills.
Whoa.
Okay. So, you got 4 grams, more than any possession of more than 4 grams of any mixture of any Schedule 1 substance.
Pretty much if you can see it.
Yeah, if you can see it, that constitutes trafficking.
That's right.
And I had a case right before I left practicing in Gainesville. Same thing happened with a guy. I mean, a totally sick guy, chronic pain, all kinds of stuff. And yeah, he's helping himself with a little Oxycontin on the side. But hey, so he had a little bag of pills that he was having to himself, and his nurse turned him in, and he gets 3 years mandatory.
Oh, my God.
And well, now so does he get Oxycontin in the jail?
Yeah, what do they do for pain? No, that's what, it turns out this one guy, when they put him in jail,
actually,
he had a morphine pump.
Yeah,
right.
Well, they see the word is...
Taxpayer gets to pay the morphine
pump,
right.
They are in a really strange place in terms of substance these days, because everybody has this mental image. Everybody's dark and down on drugs, which are just substance. It's any substance that you consume and you digest. And so the FDA has all these regulations about a bunch of substances.
But can't they just make rules arbitrarily without Congress or anything?
Yes,
they can just say, yesterday this was legal,
right,
and today it's illegal.
They've been empowered to add anything to the schedule, to whichever schedule they want to.
Well, I want to know, why does Congress or the FDA have this thing about us being in pain? I mean, do they want us to be in pain constantly?
No, it's not that. It's just more about the control. What happened is back in the FDR, they decided that Congress didn't have... This comes right back to Parkinson's law. Congress didn't have the resources with all their committees and pages and volunteers and interns didn't have the resources to keep track of all the shit they wanted to pass laws on.
Right.
So they decided, hey, what we'll do is we'll set up
out
a department for every damn thing.
Right.
Okay. And the department is going to have special purview over everything that has to do with anything that falls under that department's purview. And then they'll do all the investigation. They'll pass all the reasonable regulations.
Right.
And then we can sit on our ass and approve it.
Well, I think it was Goebbels that started that, right?
Goebbels. Not George Goebbels. I think it was Hermann Goebbels. So don't forget, we're coming to the end of the show here. Let me just mention...
I got a lot of light notes we can always post later.
Yeah, well, no, we
and
do.
Actually, they may not stop us streaming.
They may not stop us streaming. So but in case they do, here in about 3 minutes... we do want you to, you can write in for your get out of jail free card.
Yeah.
We have them here.
We'll send them to you.
We will send them to you. This is a special from Counselor Curtis. This has some instructions on the back.
Actual advice to do.
Actual legal advice.
Shotgun, it doesn't say, is it okay if I say no?
Yeah, I know. Listen, I almost came up with one of those cards, but I've got something better in there, which is I have to talk to my lawyer first.
Right.
I've decided that is actually even more powerful than is it okay if I say no.
It's the power of the folks.
It's the power.
Yep.
I love it. Anyway, we have these cards here, and we'll, and again, just send that along with your donation to the donation, and we'll make sure you get one of these cards. So we do want to make a living on this. But we're probably going to be back here. Anyway, there'll be a part 3 more than likely to this show.
Right.
And we'll see if we're still streaming here. Can we check it and find out?
Well, if
one of the things, the Hanger Dogs, by the way, thank you for, in case we don't know we're going to be here, thank you for chiming in. And Gino.
Yep.
Thank
you.
You the man. You the man.
So we're going to check it out here in a minute.
I have some more stuff here that we'll talk about later in the...
I got a bunch of really cool stuff that I wanted to talk about. I got some science updates and I got some light notes.
Well,
so
come to the podcast, website, and hear the light notes. And
unless we're still streaming.
Right.
Oh, yeah, in that case,
then it doesn't matter. We're just going to, play it out here. We got about a minute left.
Okay, well, that's what we'll do. We'll take a break.
All right.
And then we'll be back or we won't.
Yes. Pretty much. That's pretty much it. Have a great holidays if we don't talk to you before then.
Send presents.
Send presents. This is Engineer Eric from the Jimmy Dones Show, and you just finished listening to part two of our December 16th podcast.